Okay, well, Robert, that puts you in charge. Robert is the director of Bell BCE Pensions and Benefits. And as I indicated earlier, you know, we sleep at night, and Robert is going to tell us maybe we should continue to sleep well at night.
Hi, everyone. I'm always happy to be here. So, first time since COVID, so it's been a while. First, for the evaluation, the meeting evaluation, just make sure it's very satisfied what we have to write for the same time. I just want to make sure that we made it clear, okay? So, I'm not bad counts, but that's not true. Okay. So, Robert Archesseau, Director of Pension and Benefits at Bell, been with Bell for 25 years, so been a while. What we're doing, okay? So, what are we responsible of? My team, so we are 25 people, kind of, responsible for pension and benefits, responsible for 15 to 20 pension plans within the organization. So total assets, it's 25 billion. It's split for Bell, it's 18 billion, 18.4, because it varies daily. So Alliant 3.6, BC 0.7 billion, Telebec 0.3. So that's kind of the plans that we have. We have also other plans like MTS in billions as well, 2.1 billions, and the other plans is for 1.4 billions, what we're handling. In terms of sizing, so within those plans, you have DC as well, so defined contributions. So for Bell, it's $2.5 billion in defined contributions that we have. And in total, it's about $3 billion that we are handling in DC. So active DB members, so it's the members that are still accruing some DB rights. There are more than 6,600 actives. DC members, so it's defined contributions, it's 27,700. So just to give you an idea of where it's going. And for the other plans, it's similar. So on the BC, because I know that there are some BC folks, so 600 DB members, 800 DC members. And Nexia, when someone called that it was Nexia is within the Bell Canada pension plan. It's one of the participating companies in Bell Canada at the time, so it continues. We consider them on the retirees and beneficiaries because there's no more active, as you can imagine, in Nexia. So, retiree side, retirees and beneficiaries, as you can see, 34,000 retirees and beneficiaries within Bell. Alliant is roughly 7,000, and for BC is 800. So a lot of folks that are covered with those plans, as you know. So most important slides. So how the plan is going, okay? So the plan is going great. So Bell, BCE, Alliant, MTS, name it, above 115, okay? And it's true from DB, all DB plans, and it's true for going concern, which is the long-term run of the valuations, and it's true as well from a solvency perspective, okay? So pension plan are going well, okay? That's really the things that I want you to understand is, you can hear some things about BC, you can hear anything noisy around that, but from a pension point of view, like I said, 115, above 115. So why would I want you just to understand that it's really going well and it's not 115.1, 115.7. It's just that it's going really well, okay? And at one point, it's true on any basis. And why it's going there, that's what I have here, and that's what I want to explain a bit. So our journey to go there. So what we're doing. So as you can see, in the 2013, it was in those years, the assets was lower than the liability, so we were in deficit at those time. And even before that, so from 2009 and 2018, big deficit in the plan, so the company has to put more than 3.5 billion within the Bell plan during those years. Okay, so that's the sum of the what the employer has to contribute into the plan to make it satisfactory at one point. And for Allianz, it was 700 million that they put in the plan in those years when the plan was not going as great as it is currently. So, whoops, and go back. So, at one point, just files. Exactly, don't move. Okay. So, what you can see is that now the plan is. So what I want to say is that our situation, as you can see, it's the assets and the liabilities growing at the same pace. And this is what we achieve over the years. What that means, it means that we're trying to control the risk. And the risk is that the assets and the liabilities doesn't go the same way. You know, the asset reduce, the liability increase, so that means a deficit. And so for us, what's important is really controlling the risk of the plan. So that's what we are achieving. And I think that we're doing a good job on that. And this is what it shows here. So that means that the surplus at this point is more than 2.5 billion. So that's kind of it. And last year it was also 2.5. So it's not like we're in a year it's 2.5, the other year is minus 0.7. You know, we don't want any variation. So we want to be a non-story in the organization. So that's really the objectives. So for you, that means stability. That's what we're looking for. So that means that we're controlling the risk. That's what we're trying to do the best. So what's that mean, controlling the risk? That means that we don't just check what was the asset return in a year. So the asset return can be negative in a year and we will be happy because we're checking it compared to the liabilities return. So if the liabilities return is doing minus 10 and the asset is doing minus 5, that's positive because it didn't work, you know what I mean? But if it was the other way around, so that means that the asset is doing 10% and you say, oh, that's great, but the liability is down 15%, that's negative. You understand what I mean? So it's really what we're looking for, it's to beat the liability return that you're doing in a year. So that's really the objective that we're doing. And we're comparing it here. So how do we track it? It's some things that we're doing for the three large plans, so it's the Bell, the Allianz, and the MTS. We're checking it daily. So every day we're checking our kills. And it's the three plans in billions, okay? And the other one, we're checking it on a monthly basis. So on a monthly basis, we follow it to make sure that yes, it's stable from where it was last month. Is it aligned with what we are expecting? There is maybe a move of 0.1 in terms of solvency ratio, 0.2, whatever. So does it go from 120 to 119.8? No, not a big story. So that's kind of what we're doing. But from Bell, Allianz, and MTS, we follow it on a daily basis. Just make sure that there is not a trend that we missed. And for them, it's in billions, and we don't want, you understand, to miss some things in billions. So that's really important. That's what we're doing. On a quarterly, we're doing it as well with the board. So on board, every board, the board's meetings are every quarter. So every quarter we have meetings discussing on how is the situation with the three largest plan. With all the other plans, we have bi-yearly meetings. So every 6 months, we have meeting to discuss the financial situation of those plans. So, One thing that we've done in terms of de-risking is that we changed the asset mix that we had and now we have in our plan. So in the early 2000s, we were at 70% equity, so that means stock. And after that, and 30% in fixed income, so it's bonds, kind of. Okay, so 30% in bonds, 70% in equities in the early 2000s. We flip it, so that means we're now in 70% in fixed income in bonds and 30% in equities. And the reason for that is that bonds follow the liabilities more than equities. Equities are more unstable, I would say. So yes, you can do more return, but it's less stable. So that's what we've done, is that we changed the asset mix to be more stable from the long run. So that's what we achieved. Can that varies a bit? Yes, it can. So maybe in 1 year, 2 years, I would say that it passed from 70 to 60. Is it the end of the world? No. You know? So we are in a position that we're controlling the risk and we know what we're doing. So that's from an investment perspective. Other risk that we're following, it's the mortality. Okay. So mortality is one of the risks. And for you, the good news is you're living up to 150. But us, from a pension point of view, you know, to pay pension up to age 150, that's been a bit higher than what we expect. So that's more or less. You can understand the picture. So what we've done in 2015, we took a longevity swap. So that means that we took an insurance on half of the liabilities that we had at that point. And what that means, it's similar to when you're doing a car insurance. So you just want to put you in a position that if there is a big risk that happens, so that means people living up to 150, so you will be covered. So you will not have to pay a 150. It will be the insurance company that will pay for that. So that's kind of what we want. So just mitigate our risk on that front. So after that, what happened? Oh, COVID. You can understand that COVID, from a point of view of risk, it was the reverse, meaning that retirees died earlier than expected. So does that mean that it was a bad decision to took the longevity swap? No. Just want to reiterate that the objective is to reduce the risk. So it's when you're reducing the risk, it's not that you're trying to maximize the return that you're doing, it's that you're trying to reduce the risk. So that's what we've done. So yes, there have been some things that could have been more positive from a pension point of view, don't get me wrong. You know what I mean? Is that in terms of longevity, people were living shorter because of the COVID, obviously. So that means that yes, the plan could have made gains because people were living shorter, but it was preferable to have the insurance in place and make sure that we're covered on the long run. So that's really the objective of the plan. So it's the same thing when there is a big return in a year of equities. Let's say that the equities are doing 30% in a year. People will say, yeah, why are you not investing more in equities? You know, it's just that us, it's not, we're not looking for the long run, is that we just want to make sure that yes, we're passing all the storm that we can face. You understand what I mean? So that's really our objectives at one point, is make sure that we control the risk. So that's the one from mortality. Another one is from inflation. We are in a period of high inflation, as you know. So how do we control the risk? Is we're controlling the risk with the real return bonds. So in our portfolio, we have real return bonds, infrastructure, real estate assets that react with inflation. High inflation means higher return for them. So, you know, we're protected against inflation. And on the liability side, what happens when there is high inflation? We pay a higher salary and we pay a higher pension to you because our pension is indexed. So everything is in everything, you know? So that's kind of what we're we're achieving. Another risk, and it's the last one that I will talk about, it's the one on the administration. Means that why we're doing the retirees audit? We're doing it in to control the risk of fraud or the things that people died 3 years ago and we were not aware. So it's really for good governance. You check what you have in terms of data and you just want to make sure that yes, those folks are still alive and that's okay, you can continue to pay it. And you know, when we have meeting with OSFI, they are asking if we're doing something like that. So it's not something that they say, don't do that. You know, they say, no, that's good governance to do that exercise because you're just controlling the folks to who you pay the pension. So it's not something, maybe some folks perceive that negative, that's why are you testing me again? It's just that at one point we need to test the retirees to see if you're still alive. Right? So that's kind of what we're doing. Oh, my favorite topics. The class action bills. No, that's not my favorite topic. Okay, so what I want to say on that one is just that you understand what happened, the story. Sorry, on that. Understand what we've done, because I don't want you to think that we are dumb and we don't know how to calculate a pension. Okay, that's really important for us that you understand that piece. What happened? Okay, so first, how do we calculate the indexation? So the annual indexation, the way it works is with the inflation. So we check the inflation from 1 month versus the same month last year. So it's over a year, you see how the inflation went. And after that, with the inflation, let's say that we'll take a number. Let's say that it's 1.49, okay? So after that 1.49, the plan text, so it's really what driving us, you know, that's not us that decides, it's really what's written in the plan text. So in the plan text, the way we read it is that it has to be round to the nearest integer. So is it one or two? 1.49, unfortunately, is one. 1.5 is two. You know, that's really how it works. So what happened is, with an interpretation of the plan text, and this is where we want to go, is it was in the plan text, the blurb that was there, it was not as obvious as we think. So it went to court. So and the interpretation was this 1.49 should be around to 1.5, so the nearest, you know, not integer, but the one after the nearest decimal, and after that round to the nearest integer. So the way the plan text was written, it was with a comma. So it's at the first court order, they said no, the interpretation that the company has done is right. After that, it went to appeal, and they reverse it and they say no, it's the other way around. So that's fine. You know, it's not a battle, it's just that I want you to understand what happened. So with that, that means that the 1.49 is rounded to 1.5, and 1.5, when we take the closest integer, it goes to 2. So that's the mathematics that is done. So things to understand is going forward, for now, it will always be evaluate like this. So there's no more fight with BPG, with others. It will be there forever. We have our rules that we have to follow, and this is the rules that we will follow. You know? So that means 1.45, rounded to 1.5, and after that, 1.5 goes to 2. Okay. You get it? So that's what will happen in the future. Okay, what about the past? So that's the next slide. So what happened is when we had the class action only covered the 2021 indexation. Didn't cover the 1998 indexation. Okay? So we cannot say, and neither BPG, neither the, that it would apply to the past. We have no power to do that because the plan text remains the same and it has been administered that way at that time. So after that, what happened is we had discussion with BPG and with their legal counsel as well, and we had discussion at the same time with OSFI. So OSFI, okay, who is the regulator, has the power to say that, you know what the court order order you to do, you should apply it retroactively. And it's only them that they can do that. Otherwise, it's with court that you go and it's a fight. And after that, it would have been, okay, where do we land on that one? And it will be also the fees with the legal cost associated with that that would have happened. So what has been decided with OSFI is really that, oops, my name is, that's it. My name is there. So I'm still Robert Marchesson. Okay, so what we've done and what has been decided is, and I agree with BPG, so the way that we've done it, and at one point we had discussion with BPG to make sure that they were comfortable with that. And it was important for OSFI that we had the discussion with BPG, because the last thing that OSFI wanted is that after that there has been a fight with BPG on that, you know? It's not that, okay, I give you an order to do some things and after that the retirees are not happy and they want something different. They say, well, it will not end there. So that's why it was important to have discussion with BPG at one point on that. And what has been decided, it was all those retirees and estate of eligible retirees beneficiaries who died in 2020 or later, that we do the adjustment automatically for them. All those that are alive like you, we've done it, you know, no matter what, so that was done as well. So it was the difference between the 2% and the 1% in 1998. What we want to do is for those who died prior to 2020, is not do it automatically, but do it only if they raise their hand. And it was important for us because at one point, what happened with those folks is if you're not able to find them out, is that the money just went out of the plan, and after that it goes to curator public. I'm not sure it's the same word in English, but it goes to the public creditor, and the money is out of the plan. And it's not to pay any retirees, it just flow there, and after that goes with the governor. So that's why we wanted the money to stay in the plan. So that's what has been done. And BPG helped us on that with their website to communicate on that. And that's important that if you know someone in that situation that they want to take advantage of that, then contact us, be more than happy. There's no expiry date, so it can be done whenever they're ready. So that's some things that BPG is aware, and we'll make sure that people are aware if something happens in the future. You know, the money is there for them, but we don't know the beneficiaries, and amount can be really small amounts at one point, the adjustment. So small amounts, does it work to reopen, you know, the succession and try to find all the beneficiaries and go through that? Because we received some folks, even after 2020, they said, I don't want to go there. It was hard to finalize that, you know, for $500, I don't want to do that. So that's kind of the way it was done. So what's that mean in a nutshell? It's a fight that has been done, and at one point, everything has been settled, and OSFI was really happy the way we've done it, meaning that we didn't fight at one point. They decide, they give us an order, we execute. Same thing in 2021. When we received the court order, what we've done is that we execute quickly. That's important for us. It's not that we don't want to do it. And are we in total agreement with the court decision? Obviously not. Okay, but fight has been done. We lost. That's it. You know, that we continue, and that's fine. It's not against any of you that's happening. We're not against the BPG on that one. It was an interpretation. We lost the interpretation. That's okay. But going forward, the adjustment will be done to your case, and no worries. There's no more fight. So that's the thing on the indexation. One last thing that I want you to remember, and I said it at the beginning, the pension plan is growing well, okay? And that's important. And I received some questions in advance, so I will ask you to ask questions, but I have already other questions that I received that I want to name before I start to open the floor. Yeah, but I see that the stocks of BC stocks reduced slightly lately. Yeah, you know, I've been with Bell for 25 years, so I'm aware of that. No worries, I have stocks as well. So does that impact the pension plan? Is it something similar to Nortel? The answer is no, not at all, nada. Okay, not a penny. The difference in the solvency ratio from last week, 0.1%. You know, that doesn't change anything what happened with Bell. It's not, we're not, the pension plan doesn't own any BC stocks. Yes, via indices, they can have, they're part of the TSX 300, we have some BC stocks in there. But it's not that we are heavily invested in BC shares. So that's important that I cover that piece. Is there a risk of Nortel or Sears for us? The answer is no, 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 okay? I just want to make sure that it's clear there's no risk. Why? Because we're controlling the risk. Okay, some things that we make sure that the assets and liabilities flow together. And we're independent of what's happening in the company. So you're in good hands with the pension plan. And what I showed you earlier, with that, you see where we are. And yes, we have a tough journey, because at one point, it was a tough decision to decide to de-risk. And you know, de-risking means that you have to invest more. This is the company, what they've done, to make sure that in the future, I will not have to invest at the same pace that I'm doing now. So when I said that they put more than 3.5 billion in the plan, the reason was, I put it now, but don't ask me that again. You understand? So that's kind of the message that we receive. You understand? And it's perfectly fair. And when we have meeting with Mirko and the others on that, the first question is, are we still in good shape? Yes. Perfect. So for them, it's not, okay, can we take more risk? Not at all. You understand? It's not a question of we want to risk pension plans. They want to be a non-story on that, and this is what we've done. Make sure that it's not story, there's not, you know, another story just before I open the floor. When George arrived, it was in the George Cope when he arrived as president. He arrived in bad years, and what the pension plan was not doing great. And the first year, he has to invest like 500 million in the plan. And you can imagine George organizing all his business plan, and you have someone say, hey, don't forget me, give me 500 million, you know? So, was not really happy. So that's what I said, that at one point they said, I put it now, but I don't want it to be there. So that's what we've done, really a shift in terms of de-risking to make sure that yes, it will not happen in the future. So now I can open the floor to questions. So I'm more than happy to answer questions. Yes?
Your indexation rule that is now in effect, the 1.45, possibly going up to the 2%.
Yeah.
Does that hold for the PCP plan?
Yes.
Is it only the
government? No, it's all plans.
It's all plans.
The question was, is it applicable only for Bell, or it's applicable for BC as well? In the plan text, it's written exactly the same way, so we're doing exactly the same interpretation that we receive. So it's not a question of BC or Bell, it's really the same interpretation. That's it. Other question? Yes?
Liabilities. What's that quote in liabilities? I'm assuming it's the pensioners. I see the line goes starting to go up, so I'm assuming more people will take the PE plan.
The liabilities, the way that you evaluate the liabilities is you have, yes, retirees are a big chunk of that. It's the monthly pension that we're paying, but it's based on the discount rate that you're using to take the present value of all those payments. You understand? So when the discount rate are going down, so are reducing, the liabilities are increasing. The example I can give is if the discount rate is zero, that means that if you have to pay $100 in 20 years, it's $100 today at zero. But if it's 20%, the $100 may be, I don't know, $10. You understand? So when you're today in the 0% environment, it's $100, and in the other, it's about $10. So you see the difference with the discount rate. So why sometimes it's increasing is because the discount rate is going down. And that's the piece that we make sure that on the asset side, it's the same thing, that the bonds, when the discount rate are going down, the value increase. So that's why we have a lot of bonds in our portfolio, to make sure that both react the same way. So that's the rationale. Okay? Another question?
Do you compare your funds with some of the commercial banks like CIBC and
Okay, the question is, do we compare our performance with others or peers, and the give me examples of banks? So the answer is yes and no, okay? And I'm really transparent, and why I'm saying no, it's because for us, like I said, is that I don't want to compare that the others have done better return than I, because from an asset perspective, my goal is not to do the best return of the year. It's to do it compared to the liabilities. So that's really the objectives. So that's the no piece. You know that I don't check it from an absolute point of view. I'm checking it, yes, if my investment manager in a certain channel that are they good investor manager or not, and I'm comparing it with others. So are they in the first quartile or the fourth quartile? So if they are in the first quartile, so that means that yes, I'm with good manager. So with the mandate that we're providing, so it's PIMCOR that we're providing the mandate to PIMCOR, yes, they are performing well. So we have discussion with PIMCOR on that to say how the manager perform through the year. So that's something that yes, it's done. It's compared to the peers, and we're doing that. But you understand that we're not doing it from an absolute point of view, because for us, it's more important that the assets is driven with the liabilities. Because you have other portfolio that can be at 70% equities, in a certain years, yes, they will beat us significantly, but we don't care. Because us, it's just to beat the liabilities, that's the objectives. So our strategy is, we call it liability-driven investment strategy. So the strategy is driven by the liability. So that means that you're not just asset checking, you're checking it compared to your liability.
I can speak much better at night.
I know.